Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ilana Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio, every Monday from 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And today is like the most fun show ever, because we have not only great guests in a studio and calling in the studio, we have great music, but we have like the coolest guest ever. We have a live monkey in a studio, and she took over every studio on LA Talk Radio. Almost every host before our show wanted to have a picture with her, wanted to just saying hi to her, and she's just a star. Okay, maybe first and foremost, we need to ask, what is her name and name of her mommy? Somebody's calling. Okay, yes, we can talk.
Her name is Squirt. She's 20 years old, and she's a capuchin monkey. I tell people she likes cappuccino. Cappuccino monkey is how you remember her. My name is Stacy, and I'm the director of Animal Tracks.
Hi, Stacy, and hi, Heather Gunn.
Hello, Alona.
Today is our gorgeous fourth week of the month, and this is the time for our segment. It's a wild world out there, and out here, it's a very wild world, and I'm so excited. Thank you, Heather, for also finding the monkey, and thank you for making this show really, really fun and very lively. I'm hoping soon we'll be on the cameras, Accent On. Hopefully, we'll move to the studio and we can film our shows. But today, we'll post so many pictures and some little short video. Yes, Heather, that's what we'll be doing?
Yes. Indeed.
Okay. But I need to start right away our show. We have a guest, like I said. We have gorgeous monkey who will be talking to us, hopefully, or not. But first and foremost, we have on our phone our first guest, Dr. Estelle Sandhaus. Hello.
Hello. It's so nice to be here.
Okay. And first and foremost, Heather, I know so much about this topic. I know they are your friends, and I know you just have a reason why these people are right now talking to us. Then please, maybe you will take over this part of conversation and introduce Dr. Estelle.
Yes, I'd love to introduce her. So we have Dr. Estelle Sandhaus with us today. She's currently the Director of Conservation and Research at the Santa Barbara Zoo. A little background on her. She has obtained a PhD and master's degree in experimental psychology and animal behavior from the Georgia Institute of Technology, and a bachelor's degree in animal physiology and neuroscience from the University of California at San Diego. She's also an expert on California condor conservation, and those efforts that she puts forth at the Santa Barbara reflect their mission, which is to preserve, conserve, and enhance the natural world and its living treasures through education, research, and recreation. So welcome, Dr. Estelle Sandhaus.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Heather. It's a pleasure to be here.
I know today we have very unusual topics. We have few topics. We'll be talking, of course, monkey's life, I hope. And, of course, we have great organization that we need to talk about, too, with our guest, Stacy. But Dr. Estelle will be talking about something really, really sad, but with very good ending. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And we are talking about condor.
Yes, the California condor. So, Dr. Sandhaus, if you could just kind of start us with a little background on the California condor and the efforts that are going on today.
Absolutely. Well, so in the 1980s, the California condor population had declined so much that there were only 22 birds left in the whole world. And that's in a zoo, that's in the wild, only 22 birds. And one of the main reasons for that was ingestion. basically lead poisoning, and the lead was ingested by condors when they would scavenge on animals, dead animals that were left in the field by folks who hunt. But the problem is, and folks didn't really know about this, basically lead bullets can fragment and leave behind a lot of toxic material. So that was one of the things driving the drastic population decline. And there were some other things like egg collection and power collisions. But I'll just to bring you to where we are today, today there are over 430 condors in the world, and over half of those are flying free in the wild.
Wow, and this is from 20th, that it was only, yes?
22.
22,
yes.
How many years ago? In the 70s?
And we don't know the exact numbers. We just know that they declined over the years, particularly after increased human settlement, especially European settlement in the West. So we just know they declined, and we know that that number was down to just about 20 in the 80s.
You know, Heather was sweet enough, you sent me great link from YouTube, and I was listening to the gentleman, you know, describing the way how they really were fighting to, you know, keep condors alive, and just, they found a way, somehow, somewhere, have like four babies instead of one every few years,
you know. Yes.
And I love it. You need to tell us about that, because, you know, everybody thinks, oh, people know everything, doctors know everything. But really, this is like, you learn how it goes. Yes, this is all experiment. You don't know really anything. If everything will be how you planned, you can only wish for that. But still, you need to think about so many things. And even the puppet who was playing, he was being mother for the tiny little chicken. I cannot believe that the chicken can be fooled, but, you know, little puppet finger or something. And they think, oh, that's my mommy. That's like adopted mommy. I love my mama. You know, and that's so beautiful. I was just, wow, you know, how really brainy someone can be to just feel for this birds and hope that we understand how they feel, you know, then beautiful.
Yes, no, you bring up so many good points. And I think underlying this is folks, you know, before I was even in college, had been working decades on this. And, you know, the birds early on, basically, the San Diego Zoo and the Los Angeles Zoos began breeding these birds, and just like you said, nobody knew the answers. You know, they had an idea of how it might work, and like you said, they were able to increase breeding rate. So condors live a very long time, probably about 60, 65 years. We don't even know this yet because they haven't been around long enough, really. The oldest bird we know in our population is about 44 years old, but they only have one chick about every other year. So the clever biologists figured out that if they removed an egg from a pair, and condors tend to pair up in monogamous pairings, so they form long, stable pairs. If they removed an egg early in the season, the condors would lay another egg. And so they were able to artificially increase the rate of breeding, which was so important because we had so few birds and they had to retain that genetic diversity. And basically, like you said, they had to learn as they went along. So one of the funny things with the puppets was, early on, the puppets would act like very tender parents to these chicks. And when they started releasing birds in 1992, at a point where there were enough in captivity for an insurance population, the young birds were kind of getting into trouble. And the new releases in particular didn't really understand the social dynamics of a hierarchy, because condors, they have a hierarchy. So if you have a dog, for instance, and you see a group of dogs playing, and you can see there are some that are more dominant than others, and the ones that are less dominant will submit. The young condors weren't learning this from the puppets. And so over time, the puppets had to become a little bit more tough love with the condor chicks and kind of give them their knocks so that the chicks learned that they would have to submit to an older bird. And so over time, these methods have been refined, and the birds that are released today are very well suited to integration into the wild flock.
Wow. And also what really is amazing to even imagine that when they spread their wings, they are almost 9 feet.
Yes, about 9.5 feet. Why? Yes, they are the largest soaring bird in North America.
Wow. And I know, Heather, you love to go to the zoo. And I can say also that my daughter, Natasha, we took her so many times to the zoo. We had so many pictures, and then we were printing these pictures instead of putting them in memory of computer that nobody can find them, you know, and that's what is so cool, because you still can go through the albums. They're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. This is one of the coolest, the cutest, the sweetest, the nicest family-oriented zoo, and I am just really, really very honored to meet you.
Oh, me too. And, you know, the work that we do at the zoo is really made possible through our members and through our visitors, and the work we do in the wild with the condors, helping manage wild nests. That is all made possible through all of the families that come to the zoo and support us and have fun with us. It's really, really helping recover the condor and other species.
Wow. Do you have a question,
Heather? Yeah, so Dr. Steinhaus, just like you were mentioning, you know, it's so important that these zoos exist. And can you just kind of touch on that? Like, the condor maybe wouldn't even be around right now if it wasn't for zoological research.
And the noises that we hear, that this is our big star, our monkey, is making gorgeous, happy noises because she eats so much junk food, candies and stuff like that,
and
to keep her happy.
She loves condors.
She loves condors. Okay, coming back to your question, could you repeat, Heather? I'm so sorry, but she's just adorable, my cute monkey.
I was just mentioning that it would be great if Dr. Steinhaus could kind of touch on the importance of zoos and the contributions they make in the field to help ensure that a lot of species today don't go extinct.
Yes, it's a really great question and point. And, you know, I think the impact that we have on the conservation of species, there's a couple of ways you can break that down. And certainly one of the biggest impacts we have is on education. So when families come to the zoo, you know, we can teach and connect people with our animals that are ambassadors for their species, and really help people to learn about what's going on, whether it's animals in their own backyard or, you know, animals in other nations. And, you know, another thing that we're able to do is produce assurance populations, and the condor is a great example of that. So one of the recovery goals is to have a separate captive population that essentially is kind of a lifeboat of genetic diversity. Should something really bad happen out in the wild again, we will have this population in zoos that can serve to repopulate the wild. And then the other aspect is, of course, on-the-ground field work that we do. And so at the Santa Barbara Zoo, we work closely with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on an intensive nest guarding program with condor chicks. And essentially, one of the things that was preventing condors from breeding successfully was condor parents were bringing back small items of trash to their chicks in the nest. So things like pop tops from soda cans, bottle caps, and shards of glass. We think that they may be mistaking it for bone. It's about the same size and texture, these pieces they're bringing back. And unfortunately, what can happen is the chicks' stomachs, their crops, can get impacted. All the trash will just kind of cluster together, and they basically starve to death. And so with our partners, we are actually observing nests, recording behavior, and then if the chick gets sick, we're basically going in and either treating it in the nest, or we will helicopter it to the Los Angeles Zoo, where an avian surgeon will treat the chick. And then we're able to put the chick back in the nest where it can fledge with its parents. Now, the coolest thing about that is that condor parents spend a long time with their chick. So the chick is in the nest for about 5 to 6 months of age, and then they spend up to a year and a half more showing their chicks the ropes, integrating them into the rest of the flock and the hierarchy. So by doing this, we're increasing the breeding rate, and then we're also giving these chicks the best start on life possible. And so that's just one of many examples of species that zoos are helping in the wild.
That's excellent. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in this field and your passion behind it?
Oh, sure. Well, oh my gosh, your other guest is very charming.
I know. I mean, I think it's only you who just doesn't care to hear these noises, because it will be another guest and they will hear like, like, what the, you know, it's my interview, not mine and my monkey. But yes, this is wildlife, and our segment is the wild world out there. It's just the coolest thing ever.
Yes, it's wonderful.
I cannot wait for you to come and maybe be with us in a studio, and just who knows, maybe we can bring some tiny little another animal, and maybe we'll be on a camera as that. Yes, going back to your question, Heather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just like to, I would like Dr. Sandhaus to share with us her background and her passion for this type of work.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I think like so many in this field, as a young child, I was fascinated by animals. We had pets and, you know, we were zoo members. And I just always was attracted to biology. And when I was in college in San Diego at UC San Diego, I was very lucky to have the opportunity to volunteer as a behavioral researcher collecting data on the giant pandas at the San Diego Zoo. And that's really where I fell in love with behavior and zoos and conservation from that perspective. And so I went on to graduate school working with pandas and lions and all sorts of species. And it eventually led me here to Santa Barbara with this wonderful program, working with condors and foxes and frogs and now sea otters.
What
did you say? I couldn't hear this last...
I said quite the variety.
I know, you know, but the love for animals, you know, is something obvious that you have in your blood, and I don't think so. Will you ever leave the zoo? Do you think you will be doing something else in your life? Oh, that's it!
This is it. I mean, this is my dream position. I just love it. And I love the community, too. I mean, we are so fortunate to have such wonderful members and visitors and guests and the families, just like you mentioned. I mean, the multi-generational families who, you know, they came to our zoo when they were basically little children with their grandparents, and now they're bringing their grandchildren. It's so special.
So
I think there's very little like it.
So how important do you think it is for zoos to be readily available to the community for the future of wildlife? I mean, it's a huge community effort to educate the masses about wildlife, correct?
Yes, yes. I think it's critical. And, you know, with zoos together, you know, we reach... with accredited zoos and aquariums across the nation, we reach 180 million people a year. And so really, we have the biggest reach. And it's more and more important as folks are moving into more urban areas, into cities. And it's harder to learn about these animals on a close-up personal way, smelling them, touching them, hearing them. And zoos really serve that role. In addition to the role we play in captive species management, genetic preservation, and field work. So it's an enormous role that really no one but zoos are primed to do in such a way.
You know, I am from Europe, and of course, we didn't have too many places like that, but we had a few, and we celebrate parents, of course, grandparents, and schools, especially. Schools really took care very well of bringing young students and children to the zoos and just raising money for the zoos, just learning how it goes and seeing every year sometimes the same animals over and over. And we knew that this monkey or this bird or this giraffe, that's the one that we saw last year. We wanted to know more what was happening, you know, with their lives through all these years that we didn't visit a zoo. I remember me being very, very attached to a zoo that I was very close living, you know, the same arena. But what are you doing specifically for young students? How do you think it's easy way to bring them over? Is this only parents and grandparents' job, or mostly to really get them introduced back to zoo? Or is it some big attack from the, you know, inside out to bring these young, gorgeous children into your zoo and just make them fall in love with animals?
I think it's all of our role, and you know, we have so many wonderful school groups come to our zoo throughout the year. It's a very big part of what we do, and we have an excellent education department that is working more and more with local teachers to help them implement science standards in with real life lessons here at the zoo and outside. Basically, teams doing independent work outside of the classroom. In addition to that, we're working with local wildlife refuges to basically bring some of this field work, not just into the zoo, but into the classrooms and connecting children in underserved areas with field biologists. So, you know, I think, gosh, there's just so many ways to look at it. And plus, the zoo is just a really fun place to spend an afternoon or an entire day. So I think it has a little bit of something for everyone.
Absolutely. And then at evening, you can go and just, you know, walk around the ocean and eat some good food. That's like a whole day that you can plan
yes.
for children, for yourself, and then, you know, finish and very nicely with whole family having great food. I see, Heather, you printed great information about upcoming events at Santa Barbara Zoo. Is this something that you would like to talk about then shortly, or do you want Dr. Estelle to give us?
Yes, if she could touch on some of the upcoming events there at the Santa Barbara Zoo. I know there's a talk coming up called At the Watering Hole, the California Condor Recovery Project. Would you like to talk a little bit about that, Dr. Sandhouse?
Oh, sure. We are so excited to be having this. This is part of our ongoing conservation series in the evenings. And this Thursday from 5:45 to 7:15 p.m., you can see beautiful artwork of endangered and threatened and local species in our Valentine Family Gallery, which actually opens at 5 p.m. And there's the opportunity to enjoy a cash beer and wine bar and some appetizers. And then we will basically be having folks from the program, from the Santa Barbara Zoo, including me and my colleague Joseph Brandt from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and then one of our lead condor keeper here at the zoo, Carol Huntsberger. We will be talking about condor recovery here basically in Santa Barbara and Ventura counties, and also ways you can get involved with things we're doing here at the zoo and out in the field. We have a lot of ways that folks can get involved.
Wow.
And then Sunday, September 28th, we're having Big Day featuring the Tonka Truck Activation Team. We are going to have basically a celebration of our biggest, most awesome animals, so elephants, giraffes, condors, and more. And we have all sorts of fun vehicles for the kids, including a giant Tonka T-Rex, which is a 2014 rescue-themed Tonka Tundra, and the gazillion bubble-blowing car, which is quite a mouthful.
Ilona, I think we're
going
to have to
check this out.
There's going to
be raffles to enjoy.
Yeah, that would be
Tonka,
cool.
My Little Pony, Pound Puppies, so...
Oh, Dr. Estelle, we really, really, I really need to meet you. And I know that Heather eventually will take me there because I would love you to, from time to time, to be our guest, of course, and just tell us what's going on at the zoo and just make people maybe from a little further, like LA Arena and further, you know, we are very well heard all around California. Then maybe people will just make even special trip, because if something so cool is happening there and maybe nowhere else, then, you know, that would be cool to have.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. We'll love to anytime. And yeah, we always have something new and exciting going on at the Santa Barbara Zoo.
That's lovely. And I think we need to say thank you for today. Our show is only 50 minutes long, and I am so, so happy we had this time with you. And I think you enjoy the monkey sound. I'm sure you know this sound very, very well from your zoo. We thank you so much for bringing us closer to the condor's life. And the success story is really, really good. And it's good to know that when people really put their brains together and they focus on something, then maybe tomorrow will not be here. We really can do something about that. And just, you know, we have great people all around the world probably, you know, thinking this way, but success about saving condor's life. And right now we have more than 400 you said.
Yes.
That's
yes,
amazing. Then congratulations one more time. Nice to hear from you, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon, and hopefully we'll meet you face to face.
Oh, thank you. It was an honor. Thank you so much.
Thank you so, so, so much. Bye. Oh my gosh, she's so charming. You know, you always know when somebody has not only high energy, but passion.
Definitely.
She's just smiling. I don't know her, but I see her face and her eyes. You know, she's just a lovely, lovely lady. And I think it's a time a little for little music. And our next guest, who we will be trying to get in touch with, is a David Arkenstone. He is my guest, maybe, I don't know, a few times. I had him on Accent On. He's my dear friend. I know him for many, many years. And what can I say? Heather, you can describe a little bit more who he is. But right now, I want to play his music. Thank you.
Hello.
What a perfect timing. We were just finishing to play Thunderbird, and I was just calling you, and we are fading out. No, we didn't. We played till end of the song. And now I hear your beautiful voice saying hello to us. Hello, David.
Hello,
David. Oh, my gosh. I wish you were here with us, because you know what? I know your CD, which Heather will be talking a little bit about, has a lot of to do with wild life. But we have in our studio live monkey, and the noises that you will be hearing doing this, that's not me, although that's how I feel all the time for the last 2 years.
It sounds like you.
Okay, thank you so much. But yeah, that's our star, main star of our show. We have Squirt, our gorgeous girl monkey, who is just amazing. She drinks water, she eats our candies, she eats a jelly belly, and she has little diaper on her because she's an elegant girl and doesn't want to make a trouble. She scratches her, and she's had great hairstyle, like this black little, you know, top and whole brown, and we'll be posting so many pictures. And I will send you, like, in second pictures of her that you believe me. Hi, David.
Hi, Ilona.
I'm equally excited to talk to you. Trust me. Okay,
I don't know. I'm pretty excited.
Okay, David, I know you were in studio today. I tried to talk to you, but you were a little busy. Is this something
that you want
to talk to us about? And a little bit later, Heather will introduce your introduce you, or maybe now.
Yeah,
Heather,
I'll
introduce David.
I'll do a little intro now.
Yeah.
So we have Mr. David Arkenstone joining us. He's an extremely talented music composer, producer, and entertaining performer. I've seen it for myself. He creates not only soundtracks for the imagination, but has also written music for video games, including World of Warcraft, and various television programs and films. David has also received 3 Grammy nominations for his work, and his latest release, Native Chill, was released on September 16th, and we just played a beautiful song from that. So welcome, David.
Thank you, Heather. That sounded so eloquent.
Wow, and you are so important. I think a year ago I had a pleasure to sit in a theater in, where was it? What could you remind
Glendale.
Me?
Glendale.
Yeah, it was in Glendale. It wasn't in L.A. What can I say? You put great show. And I would love to little bit tell people maybe about your last CD and then move forward to this one, okay? Is this okay?
Sure. My last CD, which one are you talking about?
With your gorgeous soloist, beautiful lady, who had not only great voice,
Lovarin.
But she was... Yeah. I know, you have so many CDs. There's like, oh, which one you want me to talk about? You know, come on.
Well,
it's true, but is this something that you created between the last CD and the one that I saw?
Yes, we did an album called Celtic Garden.
Gosh, I'm behind. Okay. Okay, but still, I want to come back to Glendale show, because I know you had amazing, amazing success. You had a lot of TV appearances. Public TV was doing, you know, I think raising money for lots of stuff. I think people need to know what you are doing, not only composing and getting Grammy nominations.
They've been playing it a lot on KCET, too, so that's exciting for us. You know, it's called David Arkenstone's Symphonic Adventure, and we did have the full orchestra, so that was very exciting for me. And then we had Cirque performers and a lot of guests, soloists, and made a lot of music and fun, and I wish I could do it every night.
Yeah. You know what, but like you say, life moves on, and we need to move on to another project, and you said that the next CD that you produced was... titled?
Yeah, the next one we did was called Celtic Garden, which we did some cover songs and several originals, and it was sort of like, I can't even explain it. I mean, obviously there's Celtic music involved. We did some songs by Sarah Brightman and Lorena McKennett, and then I did a song from Lord of the Rings, which was a lot of fun. And then we moved on to this one. That's what I was doing in the studio today. We were doing some vocals for the new one.
Wow.
Which will be out in January.
Okay, then how many tracks you have ready already?
Well, they're all kind of coming to fruition about the same time. It's going to have 12 tracks on it, and it's going to have 8 original songs and then a couple covers that we want to do. So,
wow.
It's pretty exciting. It's sounding great.
Do you have also people outside that you are bringing to the studio working on this album? Or this is completely you?
Yeah, we have a violinist. We have a violinist and a flutist that are going to do some soloing on it. And then I'm playing pretty much everything else.
Oh,
what
about vocals?
That's what I like to do.
You're mentioning that you have also vocals, yes?
Yes, Charlie. Charlie's doing all the vocals. Charlie Brooks.
Oh.
And so, yeah.
That's beautiful.
So, it's going to be very nice. I think you'll love it.
I'm
really
sure.
Like it.
You know, I love everything what you ever put out. Yeah, that's true. We know each other for so many years, and I had the pleasure to have little shows here and there with you. And
yeah,
I'm your biggest fan, and Charlie's. Then I know also that Heather saw you not long ago. Yes, there was like Hollywood Bowl.
Yes,
we went to the Hollywood Bowl
show at the Hollywood.
That was really fun.
It was a great evening.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Why I wasn't invited? Minus.
Well, you were busy doing your radio show, I think.
Okay, nice.
That's my excuse.
I had the
That's
night
my
off.
Excuse.
Okay, David, I know that when you'll be ready to play a little bit more, Accent On and LA Talk Radio loves to have you on, like with your 2 albums before. I think we premiered some tracks from the album.
Yes.
That's what I would love to do. Then you just call me, okay?
I will. And you know, this album we're working on now is going to be finished by around the 20th of October, so I could come in, we could both come in and play some songs even before it's released.
Cool. No, that's what I love it, because, you know, I have so much lag with really great artists coming to the studio and playing something that nobody heard before. And I feel like I'm so important, and Accent On is so important, and Heather will be so important.
That's right.
Okay, we'll have a great, great time. What can I say? Love you. Thank you, and I'll after 20th October, we'll be having you back in the studio, okay, with Charlie, yeah?
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
have
David.
Have a nice night.
Thank you so and much. Bye. Okay, time for the monkey. Okay, Heather.
All right, last
How did
but
you
not
find
least.
Stacy? How did you find our squirt? And I just love her. I cannot imagine my life without monkey anymore. I brought 2 of my own, 2-3 monkeys of my own, and you know, cute the toys, to prove that I'm really crazy about these animals. There was when I was young, I didn't have a lot of toys. We were very poor, but I had one monkey, and for many years, she was always with me when I was winning tiny little, you know, shows, or was singing, or was recording. She was then with me, and I don't know what's happened to her. I lost her when I moved to America, and now I have reincarnated monkey with me. I love her. She brought really great memories. Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to introduce Stacy. So Stacy Gunderson is the director and wildlife educator at Animal Tracks. It's a wildlife care and education facility, a nonprofit organization that operates a wildlife rescue facility and strives to educate the public through exciting, interactive, live animal encounters.
Wow, you make that sound good, Heather. That is true. That's what we do. I want to take every child out there, I want to turn them into a kangaroo, and then I want to give them back to their parents.
Parents will say yes, or parents say, I don't know about that. Let them fly and go out of my stomach. This is a job. You know, I don't know if it... I know you love to do that, okay? I know this is... How many years you really...
I went to Moore Park back in 1987, graduated in 1989, grabbed myself a husband out of a group of 45 women and 5 men.
You are
I'm
lucky.
I'm a little competitive.
And he loves to do the same, yes?
He loves animals, too. We do this together. This is a family affair. We have 2 small children, 8 and 10, and we have a zoo on our property, and we want you all to come visit.
Oh, of course. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I see. My phone is talking, which means we need to do that. And I know I was seeing your face. It's so pretty because I see the European in you. And you said you are originally Your roots are from Norway.
Yes.
And your husband's from
Norway and Sweden.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then nice to say hi to Europe.
Nice to say hi to you too.
Okay. I need to find out, how did you get your beautiful monkey? You know, where did you find her?
Well,
where
I would love to share. A fantastic lady named Trenda Renegar started Animal Tracks back in 2002, right out of Moore Park College. And then in 2008, she couldn't do it anymore, and we went to go look at cages. I had two small children. They were 1.5 and 3.5. And we came home with a nonprofit. And we thought we were going to skip down the yellow brick road as a family holding hands, and birds were going to chirp, and bunnies were going to hop. And then they shipped my husband off to go do a movie for 4 months, and I was by myself.
Wow.
And how we survived those early years, I don't know. But my children are now 8 and 10, and they helped me raise all the baby animals. And it's truly a dream come true. We have a zoo at our house for our children.
Wow. And how old is our star? She's, you said?
She is phenomenal. You know, she is one of two monkeys. My husband trains animals for the movies and television.
Okay.
The animals live with us. If an animal has to live in captivity, it should be a great life. And so everything we do at Animal Tracks is to give them as good of an experience as you. We do painting with primates where the monkeys are allowed to get messy and play in the paint. We do nature walks at Vasquez Rocks where you can come pick a wolf or a baboon and go on a nature walk. And the baboon will not eat your face off, I promise. I want you to know the difference between a baboon and a mandrill. Mandrill's much scarier. And we have a very hands-on. So when you come and have a tour with us, you get to meet servals and baboons and alligators and wolves and all kinds of stuff. You get to meet the monkeys.
You know, I had a pleasure to have a little time with you and, of course, Squirt, my beautiful monkey. And she really knows a lot.
She does.
Knows. She understands you. She not only makes gorgeous noise, and somebody say, "Oh, she knew first where candies are." She showed you she wants it. Then she asked her to stand up. She did it. She gave you high five. She gave you a kiss. She gave you applause, and she really listens. You know, you ask her to come on my shoulder. She did this with no problem. She doesn't like certain things, like keeping her like too close. And now she's just opening her plastic bag. Oh my gosh!
I'm a monkey butler. All I do is change diapers and pick up monkey trash.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. I'm just taping this because she put her arms into the plastic bag to just fish it out colorful candy, and I'm telling you, she knows which one she wants.
Yeah,
you know, not like anyone.
This is trail mix, and she definitely has her favorite things in the trail mix, that she doesn't want certain things and the other things are gone quick. But you know, one of the things that we do is our specialty is to come to you. We do an animal show with 10 exotic animals. We come to birthday parties, we come to schools, camps, and we do a 1-hour edutainment show. And this isn't just a walk and talk with animals. We used to do the show up at Universal Studios Hollywood, and so there's a lot of fun, and we kind of fool the kids into learning anything about animals because the world is so full of technology. We need some monkey sometimes in our life.
We need monkey for sure, because they remind us of us, and I hope the bestest of us. And if people want to find you, how we can find you?
You know, animaltracksinc.org, and that's T-R-A-C-K-S, so animaltracksinc.org. Facebook is my funnest social media. I love it. I know everybody else, I'm kind of a dinosaur. Everybody else does Twitter and all those other Instagram. But you can find all kinds of fun things. We do tours. We do the nature walks. We do the shows. And right now, we're desperately trying to raise money to better the compound for the animals with Indiegogo. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that.
No. Could I?
Indiegogo is a fundraiser online for nonprofits, 501c3, which means you get a tax break. And we have put a movie on there with all of our animals to tell you what we're about and what we'd like to do. We're trying to raise $25,000. We've stalled out at $830. We can't get past.
Okay. Again, how we can help. Again, where we can find this.
Well, you go to Indiegogo.com.
Indiegogo.
I-N-D-I-E. Gogo.com. Okay. And then you type in Animal Tracks. Capital A, Animal. Capital T, Tracks. And up pops a picture of an armadillo. That's Frank the Tank, and he is my boyfriend. I am a happily married woman, but I do have a boyfriend on the side. Not going to lie, ladies.
I like that. I want to live with
you,
Cam.
When I'm not with my husband, I'm with my armadillo.
Hey, Heather, we are joining the camp. Good.
And so you look up Frank, you watch the movie, and if it touches your heart and you donate some money, we have different prizes or perks, as they will. You can have monkey footprints. The monkeys like to play in paint. Or we can do a monkey painting, and we take a picture of the monkey painting, and we send you that painting.
Oh, that's so sweet. And how many children you see every year, you think?
Not enough. I want millions of children. I probably close to 100 schools a year.
Oh, and that seems like a lot.
Well, it's not. If you 365 days in a year, I'd like to do 5 schools a week. I have to teach. I'm old. I'm wrestling alligators, and I'm old, and I need to turn on the next generation. I need them to get off their iPods and get out here and see an alligator.
And you are so right. It's not even funny, but that's what we need to do because children, they know more animals from the iPad and iPhone, you know, crazy YouTube videos more than really go and seeing them in action and just fall in love with them because they are real children.
My
real. She's right now on my chair and watching. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe. I think she's thirsty. Do you think if you open water, can she drink?
Oh, no, she would spill water all over your microphones and she would probably
Sam,
ruin your setup.
Sam, the head of radio, LA Talk Radio, that was a stupid idea. We don't do that here.
Water in here.
But you know, Monkey really feels like a little water. I see her. Okay, then you say 100 shows a year, and we gave people a way to find you on Facebook, and also we'll be having all links on our LA Talk Radio page and Facebook. Also, Heather, I'm sure you have something that you would like to ask.
Well, I'm sure Stacey has some great stories that she could share with us, inspirational stories or where she's seen kids have that connection with certain animals.
I would love to share that with you. This weekend, we're doing a great benefit with the the Peacock Foundation, and she works with children in foster care. And she uses animals in her therapy, and she works with animal tracks. And we love her because the only time a child in foster care can show compassion is with animals. So how great is that? We're helping kids. We're helping animals. Lisa is really the one doing it all. But what a great thing to be a part of, the Lisa Peacock Foundation.
I don't know.
You know, my favorite thing is when we go on a show, afterwards we get thank you letters. And what is amazing to me is every single animal will have a champion. You'll have kids who love the spider. You'll have kids who love the monkey. But every single animal gets someone who loves them.
Spider, I don't believe you.
It's true. It's like when I bring a spider in my hand, it's like I brought One Direction to the classroom. They scream like it's a rock star.
Okay, scream because they want to run.
Possibly. I lock the doors.
I love it. I love it. Love it. I know. I'm sure children love you. We need to, raise more money.
Please.
Okay. We need to see you more often. Schools
Great.
Need to find a way how to find you, which will hopefully help with that. Whoever are listening, please, please, please go to our links and check Accent on LA Talk Radio and also on Facebook. And I think, Heather, you did some marvelous job, to finding the perfect guest for our It's a Wild Life.
This was a great show.
Ladies, you both rock. Thank you so much.
Oh, I love you. Okay, Stacey, I will say we need to find the name of your husband again.
His name is Tom Gunderson, and he's a tall, handsome drink of water, and he's all mine.
I'm so happy for you, and you have two beautiful children. We cannot forget.
I'm partial.
And I would love to know their names.
Logan and Jaden.
Because I know they're very, very helpful with everything what you do. Then we would love to say thank you to them also.
Thank you.
Because I'm sure they're bringing a lot of friends over. And that's why we fall in love with animals and learning more and more. Heather, I again say thank you. This was a really cool show. I will never forget this one. I have a lot of pictures and cute little videos to prove. Your job will be to post some videos. And, you know, we need to say bye-bye for today. I would like to play something that is happy. And what is happy? Okay, Eternal Kiss is happy. We have maybe 2 minutes of it. I love you, people. Thank you for listening. Until next Monday.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.